team. That's the challenge for Washington today.
It's combustible is what it is. There's a pass, and look out. Here he goes. It's Zay Flowers down the sideline and all the way to the Washington 20-yard line. Isaiah Likely helped throw a key block on that one as they take it 46 yards, Jackson to Flowers.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. The DMV's football team is in first place. They've got a bright future. It is time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo is heard there on CBS on the call. Danny, you have been out on Tony Romo for a while.
That is right.
So I've got to admit, having been at the game, I have not watched the full TV copy. I'll probably get to that at some point later in the week just for my own kind of re-enjoyment of some of the good and also to see how they called the game as a broadcast mark. But I did watch the condensed game and got to hear a little bit of what they were saying. The most annoying thing Tony Romo does, so look for this now. You will see highlights of the Commanders-Ravens game on all of the Fox shows and everywhere, and half of them have the little pen drawn on them. Because right before the snap, he is drawing as the ball is hiked. Like, one of the things you learn when you're calling a game is there's this... there's an axiom that I heard that I loved, which is the silence of the snap. You are not supposed to be talking at the snap of the ball. Nobody. So you should hear, hi! And it sounds cool, and then the snap, if it's television, economy of words, Rouye, rolling. If it's radio, has the snap, rolls to his right, looking downfield, sets, plants, fires, right? Not only were they talking at the snap, because Tony Romo's like, hey, look at this guy, and he's over here, and he's going to eat popcorn, and then he's going to do this. He's drawing all over the picture.
He's just doodling.
So on the highlights of half of the big touchdowns and the moments, now he was always telling you exactly pretty much what was going to happen, and he was right, which was cool. But I'm seeing yesterday, let's go to Carissa with the game break, and it's just some four-year-old's doodlings on the picture of Terry McLaurin's touchdown. Go, like, you will see it on Football Night in America or Monday Night Countdown, and you'll go, oh, there it is. That's what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
Stop drawing at the snap. If you couldn't draw it before the snap, you don't get to draw it. If you couldn't tell us already, you don't get to do it.
Just throw it in the, on the bonfire. Now, I will say yesterday, he was better than I'm used to him being in terms of the, like, you know, not squealing like he just got a Christmas present or something before plays.
I think he's getting better at
that. And with information, I still find him so grating and insufferable because the thing that made him marvelous has, I don't say it's been, that's been faded down. He still does the, like, watch, they could do this here or this is something that might happen or, you know, kind of calling a shot. He does that fine sometimes. But it's the, oh, here we go, this is the game, Jim. Oh, my God. Let Jim do it. Jim, the guy that's done all the big games, who knows when it's a big moment? Jim, Nantz, that guy, number one seed. He's called your Final Four, called your Super Bowl, called your AFC, NFC title games. He's done everything you can do. Let him do it, right? Major important moment. He just can't help himself but, like, squeal and giggle. And it's not charming. It's not John Madden, who's just so, who was so excited and jubilant about the sport and just loved it so much. It's this, I'm going to be the one to quantify it, like insert myself unnecessarily type thing. And yeah, then you add in the weird doodling. I just couldn't be more out.
I think he's pretty good. I'm going to reserve judgment until I go back and watch this full game. Mm-hmm. But there are certain quirks that are just Romo-y isms that it would be great if you could just cut those out and make him excellent. And it seems like he does not want to stop doing them.
That is Grant. This is Danny. Yes. I have made my judgment. I have slammed my gavel. I could not be more out. I would rather have anyone else that does that broadcast games.
Anybody?
Anyone else that broadcasts games to be the color commentator.
Mark Schlereth season?
Anyone else.
Oh, wow.
Is Mark Schlereth anyone? And is he else? Yes. Give me that guy.
All right.
Every time.
You're going to hear a lot of Hog Molly hat on a hat stick.
I'll take that. Okay. I'll take that over squealing and doodling.
Here's the question for you as we kick off our second hour on Grant and Danny. Yesterday's loss. You drop a game in the standings. You're still in first because the Cowboys.
What happened to them?
They were so bad.
Remember that? That was fun.
The Cowboys are so terrible. They gave up. I mean, it would have been. If the Lions wanted to, they would have scored 60. Do you have the Ben Johnson alert? How many trick plays did the Lions run on them successfully? It's a big number. They lined up Dan Skipper on the first play as eligible after, like, the whole game plan all week was, we were robbed when we went there last time and they made us angry. And we are going to go there. We are going to take their children and to bring them home with us. They just kidnapped all of the Cowboys' children and came back.
Yeah, they were not afraid to run up the score or rub it in right there, by the way, which was interesting.
They ran a hook and ladder to a goal, to a tackle.
Yeah.
They ran a play where Skipper, who quote-unquote didn't report eligible last year, he did. They lined him up at wide receiver and had him run a slant, and it was there. And for some reason, their backup quarterback just stared at him like, oh, he's open. That's weird.
What should I do?
Should I throw it to? I can't throw it to him. He's a lineman. What the hell are we running the play for then? So I guess they didn't actually want to throw it. They just wanted to, like, troll. So he just took a sack. He waited like 4 more seconds after the slant was wide open rather than throwing the ball to the lineman. I didn't understand that. But they were just quite literally, they went to the bathroom on the carpet and then they grabbed the Cowboys by the face and rubbed their nose in it for 2 quarters.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, the Eagles barely.
I mean, snuck by, didn't they?
Barely beat the Browns. And I was like, oh my goodness. Deshaun Watson got right. Cleveland's offense awoke from a slumber. The weeks of calling for Watson's job. And, you know, their coach is a 2-time coach of the year, by the way. And Kevin Stefanski, his head's been called for. So they were motivated. They were inspired. Deshaun Watson was awful.
Their touchdown was on a blocked field goal.
They almost beat the Eagles. And after the game, Nick Sirianni, the head coach of Philly, bye week, by the way, extra time to prepare, home field, 20-16 squeaker over the Browns. They had the ball first and goal at the 1 with a chance to tie the game in the waning minutes. And then they did the same thing they did against Washington, where they committed like 4 penalties and had too many guys in the huddle, and they moved back 10 yards because they're a high school team. Not a good one, but a bad high school team. Then they had to kick a field goal, or else they would have tied the game, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Sirianni starts screaming and cursing at fans behind the bench.
That's where we are, by the
Eagles
way.
Eagles fans.
Yes. Not Browns fans. Not it wasn't getting chirped by some the dog pound. But dudes from Avon, Delaware, Schuylkill River, like, he's getting, like, what is going on? I mean, what a bizarre stepped on my shoes in Arlington hammer dude, bro, that guy is. Like, what are we doing?
You scuffed my Tims.
It's like he's swinging on dudes.
This is how, sorry, dude. No, man. Let's fight about it.
Hey, what fraternity are you in? Because that's not mine. Let's swing. Boob.
I'm ready to rule on Nick Sirianni.
He
stinks.
Who gave more benefit of the doubt to Nick Sirianni than this guy? Not many people.
You know how you get benefit of the doubt when the team keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. He was one of the winningest coaches ever through a couple of seasons, I think, by way of percentage.
It is now unserious in Philadelphia.
He's a goofball.
That display to me, and who knows? Maybe I'm overreacting. I have no idea. I just know this. That was unserious. That, like, you're trying to lead men. Please lead them. Not in turning around and yelling at your own fan base,
by the
way.
Well, his victory speech in the locker room with, like, ball over his head, you know, like, gather around, gentlemen. His whole shtick was like, we remain humble and we win with class. Guy who was just yelling at the fans on the field.
And then tell those fans to kiss my... Yeah, like, that's what he did.
Exactly.
Like, that's what he did.
Just a complete goofball. I mean, he just is. He's the silliest of geese. But I bring this up not randomly here, but because this is part of why I feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. And you're on this early. Credit to you.
The local 53 after they lose to the Ravens. Because the Cowboys are not good. Please say this with me. The Cowboys are not good. And dare I say, the 3-2 Philadelphia Eagles at this moment are not good. They're not. I know who is pretty good.
Who's that?
The Washington Commanders, who are 4-2. So that's reason number one why I feel better after the Ravens loss. And that's the question for you guys, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. I know it was an L, but do you feel better, worse, or the same? 800-636-1067. I've got a couple other bullet points here. You want me to give you those now, or do you want to go?
I want them now.
All right, so number one, the division is the division. Giants, bad. Cowboys, frauds. Eagles, frauds. At best, one of Dallas or Philly will be in the 10-win mix, and so will Washington. So you're in a really good spot. That's number one. Number two, people won't like this one because this feels a little like moral victory Monday. You played with the Ravens. You went there. A lot of things didn't go your way, by the way, in terms of not being able to run the ball, terrible defensive game, missed field goal, some ugly stuff throughout, and you were right there in the end. You lose by 7. Now, I will also acknowledge, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, Danny, I never thought the Commanders were at risk of winning that game.
Didn't feel that way. No, if they'd come out with a win somehow, it would have felt like they stole one.
Right.
Right?
Was there a moment after the early pick and the 3-0 lead or like 3-3 where you thought, they're gonna steal this? They're going to beat the Ravens in Baltimore. I never really felt that way.
No, I didn't either. I mean, thinking about the start of the second half, the fact that they'd, even though the kick got blocked or whatever the hell that was at the end of the first half, where they're going, okay, we move the ball to get that field goal attempt. We get the ball to start the second half. Maybe here's where they go down and score a touchdown. But then once they did, and I went, okay, now it's right back to Baltimore's offense on the field. And you settle for a field goal on that opening drive of the third quarter. Baltimore's winning this game. That's how it felt.
So number two then is you played with the Ravens and you proved, I think, that you could play with just about anybody. Number three reason why I feel better after this game than before it. This to me was a really good Jaden Daniels step. If you don't want to say he played a great game, you don't have to. I don't think he was great. He was very solid. He was good. And here's what I needed to see, Danny. What happens in a game where he isn't ahead of the chains constantly with the run game? What happens in a game where he doesn't have the ability to slip out of the pocket and use his feet whenever he wants to as his easy button? When a team kind of keeps him in the pocket and forces him to throw, and he is the offense with his arm. Not the running game helping him, not him as a runner, but it's his right arm or bust. I think he passed that test with flying colors. Don't you?
I do.
I felt really good about that. And then lastly, you know that I have been probably the last holdout on this, maybe. I have not been sold on Austin Seibert, who at kicker had been flawless coming into this game, and then he had a kick blocked at the end of the half. Maybe it was too low. I'd have to go back, and I'm not even qualified enough really to know. Is it too low? Is it, you know, the bad protection? I don't know. But he made 3 field goals, including his 2 longest of the season. He was good from 49. He was good from 54, his longest by about 9.5 yards on the year. And I watched him in pregame warmups routinely booting the ball with ease through 55, 56. So some of my questions about his length and the ability to just drive the ball from 50-plus were answered, honestly. Weirdly, in a day where he had a kick blocked. He also had an extra point that almost got
blocked. That was wobbly.
It was blocked.
Was it actually touched?
Yeah, I believe it was.
It wasn't definitive on the telecast, and I mean, they just kind of moved on.
Balls don't really move like that. So
I didn't think so.
It was kicked like sideways, like a spinning top toward the goalpost. I'm pretty sure that one got touched too. There was a lot of hands around the football. But my concern was you've got to get to 45 to 47 for him to be able to make field goals, Kai Forbath style, or at least the way they thought Kai Forbath was when they first signed him. Mm-hmm. I think he proved that wrong, didn't he?
I think so. I mean, to me, the reason. So to answer the question, big picture. I feel better. Similar reasons to you. And this is mostly, I was a bit more of a holdout on, let's not slam the gavel on Philadelphia just yet. Let's not tell you that Dallas is over with, as you know, coming into this particular week. That's not what good teams do, though. Good teams don't look like that. Detroit's really good, by the way. I think that we slept on them because they're early loss to Tampa. That's the best team right now in the NFC. Maybe that'll change when San Francisco gets right, if they get pieces back, etc. But they're, to me, a juggernaut when they are right. And they're right now. So, but you'd be competitive at some point. They never were. Not at any point in time. Whatever Detroit felt like doing, they could have done. We could have a 300-yard, 4-touchdown day for David Montgomery. We could have done it with Jameer Gibbs. We could have fed Amon Ross St. Brown. We could have had Sam Laporta go. Whatever they felt like doing, they could do. And Dallas was non-competitive. They're falling apart. And Philadelphia, I'm going, okay, they got A.J. Brown back. And they got Devontae Smith back. Both had touchdowns yesterday. Still got Saquon Barkley, who through a handful of weeks was the best weapon in the sport. They'll be good. They'll be fine. And they weren't. They really struggled to move the football. A couple big plays against Cleveland's defense, including the Longsmith touchdown.
So is your feeling better exclusively based on the rest of the division?
No, that's part one. And part two is I want to know what happens when we always talk about this, when it's not 72 and sunny. I want to know when the
By the way, I don't know if it was actually 72 and sunny or not. That was the best weather game I can ever remember.
It was real comfortable.
It was so nice out. Like, that is, whatever the default setting is on Madden on a 1 o'clock kick.
You want that.
What a nice day it was.
67 degrees.
Gorgeous.
You know, a little bit, not a problem at all. But I want to know what happens. And what happens is Jaden Daniels is still awesome. Ta-da. Solved. Done. So happy about it. Just keep him healthy, and we're going to have wonderful results. That's how I feel. So, yeah, I actually feel more encouraged. If it's just for the designs of this year, I said this morning on the Junks, you go, oh, bummer, would have rather won the game. And maybe they're not a Super Bowl contender. Maybe Jaden Daniels is not the MVP. I think all that stuff was reactionary and a bit far-fetched as it was. So for the purposes of this year, you'd like to beat Carolina and be 5-2. But I'm still in this is bonus time. What they've done already is so much better than my expectations. I'm so thrilled that, yeah, you had a setback against the team that might end up being a Super Bowl contender. Okay, not a big deal. We're still a year and a half, 2 years ahead of schedule as far as I'm concerned. And I know that may not be the type of winner talk that everybody wants, but it's just a reality. They have $100+ million in cap space before they do anything heading in the next year. That's not a team that's trying to compete right now this second. And here they are competing.
Jesse tweeted me, I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny is at Funny Danny. He says, they showed plenty of replays. The extra point was not blocked or touched. I watched it a few times yesterday. There's a ton of hands near the ball, and the ball spins in a non-natural way. Like, I don't know that you kick a ball and it goes that way. I don't know what they said on the broadcast. Did they say it was blocked, or it sounds like, Danny, you don't think they mentioned it?
Well, they mentioned it. They go, we couldn't tell, and then they just moved on so quickly because Tony Romo had to doodle.
I mean, what did you guys think at home?
Yeah, I thought that it was blocked. I didn't even know that. I didn't even realize that it went in until I saw the score change, obviously. But, I thought that it was blocked. They didn't mention it on the broadcast, though. And the same went for the field goal before half. They didn't even know that it was blocked until after they came back from halftime.
Yep.
They then told us, that kick before half was blocked.
So we, even in the press box, like, we could not tell, and they were showing some replays, and we eventually saw it. But the reason we all assumed it was blocked was the dude that blocked it, who's a guard, I can't remember who it is, number 66, big fella.
Ben Cleveland,
thank you. He made it very clear that he blocked it. He was just jumping all over.
I love that, by the way. Thank you.
He did the airplane. Yeah. You know, he started doing an army crawl across the field. He, like, bit into the rosin bag and pretended like it was a grenade and launched it over to the dugout. I thought it was really weird when he started going through the entire crowd and high-fiving everyone. Then he started doing that Ezekiel Elliott, like, I'm eating the cereal. And then he did the Justin Jefferson gritty. Like, it was very, very clear because he wanted everyone to know. I touched that. I got my finger on that.
I would too, by the way. I would run around pointing at my hand, which everyone had touched. I'd be like, this one, right here. Like, I got it.
Hockey, which, by the way, the Caps dropped their first game on Saturday night.
Yes, they did.
But what an amazing opening ceremony for the 50-year Selly.
That was cool.
They brought back so many of the great players. Really, anybody who wanted to be there was on site. Over 70 players were back to be honored on the ice, which was very cool. But let's get 2 points next time. How about that? Vegas Golden Knights coming to town next up. But I bring up the Caps because in hockey, a lot of times you'll see that where a guy will shoot from the point, and we don't know. Did he redirect it? Did he tip it? And what you're supposed to do is not raise your stick and act like you scored a goal if you didn't tip it. But occasionally, that teammate will do the uncool thing of being like, yeah, I got that. And then after 15 replay reviews, you're like, he didn't get it.
I'm not sure he got it.
That was just a blast from the point.
Does he get proximity credit?
But if you think you tipped it, you want everyone to know.
You tell the world.
That goal goes on the back of your hockey card. Do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Commanders as you did before they lost to the Ravens? We're Grant and Danny. That is the question right now on The Fan.
And as you said, you guys were in it till the end. How did you feel about the compete level of these guys?
You know, I thought we were really ready in that space and showed that all the way through. When you see the time the possessions, you know, switch like it was and long drives. But, you know, coming into the half, you know, at 17-10, I think we might have just missed a field goal into that spot. But I thought, you know, that was the kind of back and forth fight we were expecting, certainly in that spot.
Head coach Dan Quinn on his 4-2 Commanders. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Coming up in 30 minutes, you'll have a chance to win Caps tickets. They're taking on the Montreal Canadiens on Halloween at Capital One Arena. We got a pair of tickets and the good seats for you.
Nice.
You better be listening at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Danny, the question is, how do you feel about the loss to the Ravens? Do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Commanders after the L? Right now on Twitter, I have a poll up.
Oh.
At you ever Grant done H. that? Polson.
You ever done that before?
Do my first one.
Okay, good.
Just
for you.
Trying out a new, I believe it's new technology over on the X app.
I'm gonna go vote right over there. Look at my vote right there.
You'll get a sticker. You can wear it so everybody knows you voted.
Let me, Yo Vote right there.
I should have one of those in my bag. Let me see here. The I voted sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a wear my I voted sticker guy, by the way.
I just do it, and then like I don't need a sticker.
Yeah. I go vote, as is customary.
Sure, yeah.
In these here United States.
Mm.
But then I don't post my sticker online or tell everyone I did it. Because that could lead to conversations.
Ah, yes. There's follow-up questions there.
Yeah.
That you don't want to answer.
I don't want to answer.
And I want
questions.
You to keep in mind that we agree with you.
I am voting for... It's interesting. I am voting for the same person you guys are. I do want everyone to know that.
Can you believe what this person said or thinks? Me neither. Or I agree?
I think the same thing about both candidates as all of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's... We're on the same page.
We now. Align.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Any hoodles?
Yeah.
So the poll is... Coming out of the loss, how do you feel? Better, worse, or the same as you did? 20% of fans voting so far, several hundred votes in, say better. 8% feel worse. I wonder if that's a, man, this defense is really bad and it's going to continue to get exposed.
Yeah, or I legit thought we were going to beat the Ravens kind of a thing.
That could be.
Yeah.
71% feel the same. No damage done. I don't feel better, but I certainly don't think this was a step back.
Yeah, just go like a 1 to 10 scale. 5 is neutral, the same. 1 is way worse. 10 is way better. I think I'm like, it's not like I went up 7 points. I didn't go from like a 5 to a 6. But I basically came in feeling good. I left feeling still good, but like even like a little bit better on the good scale, right? Like where I'm going, the rest of the division is not special. It's not as if Philadelphia just got its act together. And Washington... I think passed a test in a way. Again, I know they didn't win the game. I'm very aware of what happened. I wish they had. Would have been awesome. But it's not like they were non-competitive. Like you see what happened when Dallas, who's reeling and not playing great, went up against a really good opponent. They could have lost by 70 points. Like that's the only way I would have felt worse yesterday, if it was that non-competitive.
Who is your neighbor who has the catchphrase on the commercial about a sermon? What's the bit?
Lon Solomon.
Yeah, what does he say?
Not a sermon, just a thought.
Not a sermon, just a thought. So I'm going to go, this is an observation, not a complaint, okay? I'm giving you an observation, not a complaint here. Cliff Kingsbury didn't even pretend to try to run the ball in this game. The moment they found out Brian Robinson wasn't playing, he said, okay, that's all for us, thanks. I mean, Austin Eckler, like everyone looks at, he ended up with 9 for 21, I think. I think it's two of his first three carries were 5 or 6 yards out of the gun, like downhill. They ran the ball on those couple of plays, and it worked. Now, he got hit in the backfield several times, to be clear. I'm not saying they should have run the ball more. I don't have a problem because they moved the ball. They had 300-plus yards. Wasn't a great offensive day, about 5.4 a pop. But do you agree with me, though? It just seemed like he decided we don't have
our thumper.
Our battering ram.
Yep.
So our running game is going to be a short passing game, like a balls out quick.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler, by the way, had... 4 catches in the game for 47 yards, including the sexiest design by Clifford that I've seen all year. I get so steamed up for Cliff Kingsbury right now, and I'm not even talking about physically, and he is handsome.
Handsome, deep voice.
Guy, the flea flicker screen, who ran that before them? He obviously saw it somewhere. It's got to be like some
it's
holy
like a Boise
cross.
State type play. Yeah,
it's something wacky in college that he saw. A flea flicker screen. For those of you that didn't see the play, Daniels gets the snap. He's got the two backs with him, which is already awesome. You and I have loved this.
Mm-hmm.
They do that triangular, like one beside him, one next to him, pistol look. They do all kinds of quirky formations. Gives to McNichols as Eckler picks up the oncoming defender. Eckler passes off the defender to McNichols, who just tossed the ball back to Jaden Daniels, badly, by the way.
Very poorly, yeah.
Daniels has to, like, make an athletic play to get it. And then he immediately checks it down to Eckler. Well, as soon as you see flea flicker as a defender, You're turning and burning.
Turn and burn. Exactly.
Flipping those hips, hauling you know what the other direction. Eckler catches a screen. Tyler Biadasz is now pulling out in front. Oh, I got chills thinking about it. It was scintillating.
There is, to me, and it's got to be the right ingredient. Like, you see Detroit yesterday ran that play that ended up being a long pass to Sam LaPorta for a touchdown. When, like, somebody else did it, I can't remember which game it was I'm watching on Red Zone, but, like, they hand it off. No, it's a reverse. No, it's a flea flicker. And there's a defender literally waiting who annihilates the quarterback for a loss of 12. When they don't work and you don't catch them in the right thing, man, does it look like the worst play in the world. Like, why would they do that? It's so stupid. But when one of those... We know that you know that we know that you know. So now that you know that we know that you know that you know. So we know so what good. You don't know. We're playing this three-dimensional thing. We've set this up. We've got every look that we possibly want. We got the right defense. And when you run it something like that, you go, my God, is that genius.
I saw another play from Clifford that I loved. Did anyone see the little fake screened Eckler, like a bubble, basically, into a wide receiver tunnel screen to Diami?
So top of the screen?
Yes.
Right. We've overset screen here, but like you look like you're going left on a screen, and either Daniels
so they're going right
turns
to
it
left
down.
On television.
Yeah.
And at the top of the picture, yes, Daniels, there's Eckler is going from the bottom to the top of the TV. Mm-hmm. He's like very obviously like waving his hands like, I'm over here, look at me, eye candy, who's going to give me something for Halloween?
Woo-hoo, doing the Jamie Tart bit.
Doing an Instagram, woohoo, woohoo. He's like over there. And then Daniels pumps him. And here comes Diami coming downhill on a wide receiver screen mm-hmm. with that tunnel set up. And he just boom, 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 slamming into dudes for 9 yards because Diami on the screen. He's like the most physical guy in the world when he catches a screen pass.
And who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
But that was an awesome play.
Yeah, that was nice, too.
Cliff, what do the kids say? Let me look up a quote.
I have one here that my son told me.
I believe I've got one for this situation. Let's see. Synonym for doing a nice job with play calling. He's in his bag.
He's in his bag.
He is in.
Inside his bag there.
I'm looking for in his bag.
Would have accepted in his bag, reaching deep into his bag.
Let's see here. Dug into his bag. Then we'll use that one. Well, let me adjust my glasses here.
My spectacles appear to have slid down.
In his bag. You thought I was white when I said Usher, huh? In his bag. We'll go with that.
Challenge accepted.
Anthony in D.C., you're on Grant and Danny. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks
hey, buddy.
For taking my call. Long time listener, long time caller. I love you guys.
Well, you're sweet.
Hey, so before I get started, let me say this. We was looking at the game yesterday, me and my wife. So... that particular play, Danny, I said, oh, my God, a reverse flea flicker. And I seen Austin Eckler running down the sideline. So my wife say, a reverse flea flicker? She said, is that really a football term? I said, yes. She said, oh, I thought you was making it up because she thought the word flea flicker was hilarious. She never heard that term before.
I love that.
And when you guys were talking about it, I was just laughing at that. But... as far as the game, like I told Doc Saturday, I'm definitely encouraged about what we did. It's not about the win. I mean, it's always about winning. Don't get me wrong. But it's about the progress and the process. And I see that everybody was playing hard. Everybody was flying around. I mean, we lost to a team that some people would say is going to win a Super Bowl by only one possession. And keep in mind, guys, every team ain't got Derrick Henry.
Well, in the tandem of him and Lamar Jackson. Sorry to cut you off.
I love those words, process and progress.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, I'm still trying to keep a level head about things. They're way ahead of schedule, so you don't apologize for being the best in a mediocre division or even a bad one. So win as many games as you can. But big picture, progress in this process, I'm all about
that.
Well,
it reminds me of Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards one time said this thing that still resonates in the NFL. He said, you play to hang around with the elite team in the game. I think that's what he... wasn't that what he said?
I think that's a great
you
quote,
you play
yeah.
to lose the game within one possession in the game. I think that's what he said.
I think that's the quote, yeah.
I mean, look, so many tough guys are going to do the, like, no moral victories thing. Call it whatever you want. They're 4-2 and in first. They are way ahead of schedule. And the thing I care the most about is the quarterback. And on a day where he was asked to do more with his arm because there was less help in the run game and less he could do with his feet because the Ravens didn't want him to, he did the things with his arm pretty effectively. That's exciting to me. 800-636-1067. Do you feel better, worse, or the same out of the Ravens game? We'll take a few more of these. Also squeeze in a double play. We got those Caps tickets in 20 minutes. Jay Gruden at 5 today in an hour and 20 on Grant and Danny. our double plays driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. We will make this quick. Let's hit the phones with Commanders fans waiting on a Monday after a ball game in just a couple. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. Danny, your double play.
Do this super quickly, GP. Game that I'm playing on PS5 called Black Myth Wukong has sold just
I'm
over...
sorry, what?
Black Myth Wukong. That is the name of the game.
Okay.
Okay. In just over a month, has sold more than 20 million copies. In just over a month, I say it again, has sold more than 20 million copies.
Globally.
Globally. This is now where we are, that the biggest game can take on the biggest movie and sometimes beat it. So normally right now what's going on with games is a brand new game is usually $69.99, $70. This one they priced a little bit less, $59.99. It's well over $1 billion in terms of revenue, cost them $43 million to make. They're probably going to end up making $2 billion over the life of this thing,
wow,
which is incredible, which is bigger than it's now the number one form of sort of art consumption entertainment. That's what I have for you.
Your boys double play. When you cancel an Uber because they won't come, you lose money. You're charged $5. When an Uber cancels on you, nothing happens. Now, drivers will tell you, well, my score gets dinged, I'm sure. Maybe it doesn't. I know I get nothing for it.
Right.
I know that I don't even get the opportunity to sign back up for a ride or not. Maybe my circumstances have changed. Maybe I've decided now I'm going to wait. The next person just picks me up. And I need to get something back when I've waited for the 20-some minutes that someone's supposed to be coming to me, and then they don't, and now it resets at 14 more minutes because the driver canceled. And now I'm just out. Inconvenience, time, energy, money, effort, whatever.
Did that happen to us in Cincinnati?
It happens all the time everywhere.
Yeah.
Just need that cleaned up. That's all. Otherwise, great situation. An improvement over the old life that I lived where I would call a taxi at an 800 number and wait for an hour, whatever else would happen. This is better. Let's figure this out together.
And I totally understand trying to protect drivers because, you know, there's a number of things that should be taken into consideration, and I'm all for that. That one I don't get, though, to your point, where it's like, I'm the consumer. I've already waited a long time. Now my wait is indefinite, and I have no recourse. Like, there should be a recourse is all we're saying. I think that's normal.
Chris, who's in Hyattsville. Chris, you feel better, worse, or the same as you did before the Ravens game about your Commanders?
I can't say I feel better just because they lost, and I feel like some warts were exposed. But I don't feel tremendously worse. I mean, first and foremost, Jaden Daniels proved that he can hold his own with some of the best in the league. So that's great. Some things that do concern me, though, there's just not a lot of playmakers on the field besides Terry McLaurin. And they seem to get these guys involved, struggle to get them involved. Also, we can't score a touchdown unless Jaden Daniels literally throws the ball into the end zone. Like, we're not getting any rack after the catch, which is concerning to me. And also, I don't know why we continue to go shotgun when the ball is on the first 1 yard line or 2 yard line in a goal to go situation. I know Robinson wasn't there. I really wish Rodriguez had been called up. I'm not sure why that wasn't a decision they made, but yeah, that's how my feelings on the game.
Well, it's a good point.
Thank you, buddy.
I mean, I think there are a lot of good points there, actually. The shotgun thing doesn't bother me because they run so well from shotgun. Whether you're under center, I understand the idea is you're closer to the goal line, but if you're turning and running back and meeting the line, the running back 4 yards behind the line anyway to hand it to him, really, what is the difference necessarily?
So you're helping, on one hand, in theory, you're helping the running back get more momentum. Instead of having the ball flat-footed, he's taking steps towards the line. That disadvantage by not doing it that way is negated by potentially having defenders be flat-footed. Does that make sense? So, like, the outside linebacker, the defensive end, and a read option kind of look is standing there waiting, and then you can start before he starts. It's just a trade-off to me. So I know people get irritated that you have to go 1 foot, but you're 8 yards back. I hate that. I understand that just visually, but to me, it's not this some sort of give up on the run play.
Here's my goal line complaint. I will say I need Cliff Kingsbury to not call any more quarterback powers down on the goal line. And I will blame Daniels probably more than Kingsbury for what happened. Did you see the big shot he took at the one?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get in. So they pull a guard. They kind of run this power thing. It's a design keeper, obviously. And he just gets walloped. I think he bounced it further outside, like no longer has a lead blocker to help protect him. to try to get in, and he got destroyed. That's not necessarily the Kingsbury design, but you put him in a position to make those decisions when there's 22 bodies all piled up and you're asking him to slam the ball over the goal line when he weighs 206 pounds or you know, 197 probably by the end of the game yesterday or whatever it was. Like, I am out on that for sure. I would like to see no more of those. Kevin in Arlington, what's going on?
Hey, boys. Sort of piggybacking on Chris's great call just then. I'm slightly disappointed, and here's why. I had to give up the ghost following yesterday's defensive performance. The 99 Rams achievement of going and winning the Super Bowl after a season, I think that's safe. We simply are broken defensively when we play top flight offenses. We saw it against Tampa, we saw it against Cincinnati, and we saw it yesterday against Baltimore. And that said, you know, Danny, I know you've been all about, you know, long-term, big picture, and I'm there with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's anything that they can do by the trade deadline to shore up the one thing a lot of people, you and me both, I think, were concerned about offensive tackle and corner. And tackle has worked out better than I should have hoped for.
Agreed.
But at corner, yeah, Mike Davis did not work out. They stuck with Forbes. They didn't. I mean, whereas every other position they addressed by adding someone in free agency or whatever, they kind of let corner be. Or if they thought, you know, Mike Davis was the answer, they were wrong. And so I still think, though, they have a chance to fix that. And I hope that they do. I think if we're going to go to the playoffs, and we should, like Grant said, the division is there to be taken. I don't want to get to the dance and not dance a little. We need to acquire a quarterback somehow, some way, and I want to see that happen.
I actually want to talk about the point you're making next hour at about 4:30 or so, but I want to get into, should they be trying to fix this defense with a trade or two at the deadline and maybe flip the switch to being a contender and viewing this season as not just a building year where you let your kids take lumps and where, oh, we're not good on defense, we don't like our secondary, but we'll play the guys we have, the ones that are good, we'll be around next year, we'll get rid of everybody else. Should they be viewing this as, well, the division's there to be had, there's no reason we can't make some noise in the playoffs with this offense, let's go get a corner.
Yeah, year one Rivera, right? Where you go, we're here, let's not apologize for it, let's go win it.
Exactly. Except this time you're actually good and you could, at the deadline,
yeah, there's that.
Make a real trade and make yourself better. Is that something they should be thinking about? We'll get to that coming up next hour on Grant and Danny. But right here at the top of the hour, we are giving away a pair of Caps tickets for an upcoming game against Montreal on Halloween. You better be listening if you want those. We'll blitz you around town as well. Remember, in 1 hour, Jay Gruden joins us to discuss Jaden Daniels and the Commanders right here on The Fan.